Savior Jesus Christ, and if you could offer up some silent prayers for me a little bit before I came when I was supposed to be getting ready and stuff. I got a phone call from my middle brother, and my oldest brother's wife broke her hip. They're going to be replacing it Monday. Therefore, I was rushing really hard to get here. Jan Hill, one of them simple names. Might remember my brother also. They're older than I am. So, anyway, do you ever question things? I do. I question things that I probably should not question. My supervisor doesn't like it when I question him on some of his emails, because I don't think what he puts in them is the practices. I question sometimes things in the scriptures, and I think God wants us to do that so we can understand better. He does. I don't believe he has a problem with us questioning. Now, where we go with those questions, that might be a different story. But a while back, well, probably the last sermon, I said, this year I want to try to have a better relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm still on that path. I don't know what the day is for your New Year's resolutions going away, but it wasn't a resolution. I don't like those New Year's resolutions. But it's something that I want because I need it, and I need to work on it as I would my marriage. Because I'll just be honest, I've felt myself slipping away in the last several months. And it's because I'm not staying focused on what I should stay focused on. I know the answers. The problem with sometimes being a minister is you know the answers, but putting them into practice sometimes for me isn't all that easy. You would think it would be. I know I need to stay in the Word. I know I need to get up here more often than I do. But as I was working this week and at work and my vocation and at home, I caught myself asking the question, why are we here? You know, why is there an earth and why is mankind here? So I had to go find the answers. I probably knew them already. And it's not just because God said so at this point. But a couple things that I found out that I need to remember whenever I start questioning God in the scriptures. And in Isaiah 55, these two things I've got to remember all the time. Isaiah 55. I didn't have time to mark my Bible, so I apologize for taking a while. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. And in Isaiah, God's saying, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I have to remember that God's ways are higher than mine. Page 220 in the Book of Mormon. Mosiah, the second chapter, and I'll read verses 13 through 15. It says, believe in God, believe that He is, and believe that He created all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. Those two things right there, I have to remember every time I catch myself questioning God. I have to remember that I may not comprehend what He tells me if I get an answer from Him. And I have to remember that His ways are higher than my ways. He knows everything from beginning to end. He knows what's best for each and every one of us as an individual. Because He created us. He is God and I'm not. And that's what I tell myself. You're God and I'm not. But I still have these questions. Revelation, fourth chapter. This is the first thing that popped up. Revelation 4, verse 10. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We are created for his pleasure. Now you have to ask yourself, okay, what's he going to do with me? And what does the pleasure mean to him? Colossians. This one answered it. For me anyway. Colossians, the first chapter. Verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He didn't just create us for his amusement. God is a creator because he created all things. And that's one of the names that he's given, creator. So he doesn't just sit around twiddling his thumbs. He creates. And he created us to have a relationship with us. Not just for his amusement, although sometimes I think he looks at me and laughs. But he created us to have a relationship. And that's what I'm trying to search, to figure out how I can find myself in a better relationship with God and with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because that's the one I need to stay focused on. So he created all things in heaven and in earth. Revelation again, 12th chapter. I hope this makes sense to you, because this is the way my study, the line it went down for me. Last night I was thinking about it, and today as I was preparing it. So I hope it makes sense to you all too, because it helped me to understand things a little bit better. That he created us for a relationship, but he had a plan also for us. Revelation chapter 12, start at verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. I don't understand the war in heaven, and I don't have to, but there was one. And the devil and those that were on his side were cast down into the earth, where we're at. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. And he decided that we're just not going to take getting thrown out. We're going to make everybody miserable. Because as it said, his time is short. Genesis. The second chapter. Verse 7. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." We just didn't become flesh and blood, we became a living soul. Because we were created in his image, not that we look like him per se in our physical aspects, but our soul. If it comes back to me, I'll let you know what that was. But we're created a living soul. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from him made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man." I'm taking it for granted that you already know in the first part of Genesis that all things were created, and it steps through the days that they were created, and he created Adam and put him in the garden and decided he needs somebody else. And as a man, we need somebody else. Hopefully to keep us on that straight and narrow and help us to get to heaven. So he made a woman to be a helper. And if you have a great wife, you know what a helper they can be. But Satan was cast out into the earth, and woe unto the inhabitants. Genesis 3:1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God hath done that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good from evil." And it's given to every man to know the difference. But Satan deceived Eve, and she partook of the fruit she wasn't supposed to take of, and so did Adam. And so there was a fall of man. And I'm thinking at this point, well, I didn't have a whole lot of choice in that. But God said, I got a plan. I didn't have a choice to be a fallen person. I'm guilty by association, if you know what that is. Hopefully you do. If you're with people and they go commit a crime and you're there with them, you're guilty also, whether you did it or not. You're guilty, you're guilt by association. And you're going to go, if they get caught, which they should, you're going to go to jail with them. But I didn't do anything. You were with them. And that's the way it is. It's the law. Page 84 in the Book of Mormon. So be careful who you associate with, for one thing. That's a lesson out of that. If they're not going to help you stay on the path of righteousness, you need to find somebody else to associate with. I'm going to go off track just a bit here because something popped into my mind. I can remember the day when I knew I had to be baptized and I knew I had to follow Jesus Christ, and I had a worry that I wasn't not going to have my friends around anymore. They weren't really friends because they weren't helping me go down the path that leads to God. They would have tried to sway me one way or the other. I don't associate with them anymore. But if you have that fear, don't worry about it. Your friends are here. Your true friends are here. I know it for a fact, for me anyway. Not that I don't talk to these people from time to time, but I don't particularly associate with them anymore, which is a good thing. Some of them are dead by their own hand. Page 84 in the Book of Mormon. Sorry about, forgot my thought. 2 Nephi. I'm going to start at verse 94. And now, my sons, I speak to you these things for your profit and learning. For there is a God, and he hath created all things, both in the heavens and the earth, and all things that in them is. Both things to act and things to be acted upon, and to bring about his eternal purposes in the end of man, after that he had created our first parents, and the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air, and in fine, all things which are created, it must needs be that there was an opposition. If you've studied science in school, there's an equal and opposite reaction to everything that takes place. If I hit this with a hammer, there's going to be an equal and opposite reaction actually coming back this way from that force. Make sense? It's a rule. It's a law of physics. Anyway, that helps me out in also remembering that there is an intelligent divine to this creation. We'll get into it in a minute. Even the forbidden fruit in opposition to the tree of life, the one being sweet and the other bitter. Wherefore the Lord God gave unto man that he should act for himself. Wherefore man could not act for himself, save it should be that he was enticed by the one or the other. Choices. We have a choice in everything we do. And that's the way it should be. That way we can't say, well, he created us for his amusement, and I don't have to worry about what happens because he's just guiding me in the way that I should go because I don't have a choice. But we do have a choice. And God knew that we needed to have a choice. And Lehi, according to the things which I have read, must needs suppose that an angel of God, according to that which is written, had fallen from heaven, Wherefore he became a devil, having sought that which was evil before God. And because that he had fallen from heaven and had become miserable forever, he sought also the misery of all mankind. Wherefore he saith unto Eve, yea, even that old serpent, which is the devil, which is the father of all lies. Wherefore he saith, partake of the forbidden fruit, and ye shall not die, but ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And after that Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit, they were driven out of the Garden of Eden to till the earth. And they had brought forth children, yea, even the father of all the earth. And the days of the children of men were prolonged according to the will of God, that they might repent while in the flesh. He gave us time to choose which side we were going to be on, good or evil. And that's the biggest choice we have to make. There's still a war going on. And it's a spiritual war. And you get to decide what side you're going to be on. Whether you're going to be on the side of righteousness or on the side of evil. You're going to be on the side of good or you're going to be on the side of bad. You get to make that choice. I get to make that choice by the decisions and the things that I do in life. Verse 108, wherefore their state became a state of probation, and their time was lengthened according to the commandments which the Lord God gave unto the children of men. For he gave commandment that all men must repent, for he showed unto all men that they were lost because of the transgression of their parents. And that's another place I said, that's not fair. That's all right. It's not fair. But because of the fall of Adam and Eve and because of the association that I had with them, because I am part of mankind, I'm fallen. I didn't have a choice in that, but that's the way it is. I'm fallen. And now behold, if Adam had not transgressed, but God had a plan. Hang on a minute. God had a plan, and he said, Mark, I got a plan and I'm going to reveal it to you. And now behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden, and all things which were created must have remained in the same state which they were after that they were created, and they must have remained forever and had no end. And they would have had no children, wherefore they would have remained in the state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. If you don't have something to compare something to, you don't know where you're at. If we didn't know misery, if we didn't know hardship, if we didn't know sadness, we wouldn't know how to compare it to joy or happiness. We have to have that comparison. We would, because you wouldn't know what the other was. If you don't know what it is, how can you compare it? Verse 114. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him that knoweth all things. He knew he had to have a better plan after he had created us and the devil came down and started tempting us. Adam fell that men might be and men are, that they might have joy. That's what he wants, is joy. That's what I want. There have been times I have felt joy so strongly that I cry like I knew misery. I don't know, the emotion... Different emotions, but the same physical things happen to your body. But I'd much rather have that. I'd much rather be tearing up for joy than for misery. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he might redeem the children from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, They have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto men. And they are free to choose liberty and life and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, but are choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. For he seeketh all, that all men might be miserable like unto himself. I didn't have a choice in the matter, God. And God says, I know it, but I'm going to buy you back. I'm going to give you a way to get back into my presence. Because I didn't have a choice of being fallen. But I have a choice on how to choose where I want to end up. Because I have the knowledge of good and evil. Does everybody here know what redeem means? Buying back? Okay, this might not sound right, but that's what's going through my head. He let us go because we were fallen. He didn't own us at that point. It's not coming out right. But anyway, he's going to buy us back. He's going to redeem us. I hope I can explain this right. The Israelites had a deal where if they gave somebody something, they could buy it back from them, and it would be called redeeming. Good. And that's where redemption comes from. But we couldn't pay the price. We can't pay the price to be redeemed. But Jesus can and did. And I have to have faith that God knows what he's doing. I had to have faith that God knows that when he created mankind, that he had this plan set in place already. And when he cast the devil out into the earth where we're at, he knew that what was going to happen because he's the creator of all things and knows all things. So he had this plan. But I have to remember what faith is. Hebrews 11. Because if we don't have that faith, why do we even worry about if we're going to be in good and evil? Or why do we even worry about that why we were created? It just is. But when you know what's going on and you understand God's plan, well, you've got to have faith in that he is. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance, the way I comprehend substance is that I can see it and I can touch it. This has substance and confidence that this is really here. I'm not in somebody's dream. And it's not a figment of my imagination. It's substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. Now, there are things that I have never seen in life, but yet there's evidence that they're there. And the one that a lot of people use, and I'm going to use it, is the Grand Canyon. I've never seen the Grand Canyon. So since I haven't seen it, it's not there. But it is, because there's evidence of it. People have come, seen it, have come back. They said, yeah, it's there. There's pictures of it. You know, there's evidence that it exists. There's evidence that God exists. And there's evidence in, well, there's evidence in everything that I can think of right at the moment that God created it because it's got an intelligent design. The trees take in carbon dioxide and they make oxygen so we can breathe, and we breathe oxygen. We exchange that. Did it just randomly happen? People would say, well, you know, no. A lot of eyes are exactly the same way. Intelligent design. I cannot even conceive the thought that all this happened because of randomness. That it just did. That I can't fathom, because there's too many things that work together, and they call it intelligent design, by a creator that knew what he was doing, that knows what he's doing still. Evidence of things not seen. You can't see the wind, and it's blowing real hard right now. We call it wind. There's evidence. I'm looking at it right out there through the windows. The flags are flying like this. That's the evidence of wind I can't see. Okay. I wrote down my thoughts here, but I've already went over my thoughts. That it's guilt by association for me. But God knew that, and he says, Mark, I got this plan. And I'm going to go to Romans, the 5th chapter. Because he knew I was going to ask. No, we need to, I question more than I should at times. I've been told that. Not by God. Romans 5, I'll start at verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He sent his son down here to buy us back and to pay the price. And he didn't wait for us to be super righteous or anything. We were still sinners while he did it. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That's what's going to happen. One guy falls, another guy's death brings us back, and we're redeemed. Verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I'm going to skip to verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Because of Adam and Eve and what they did, they disobeyed God by eating the fruit, we all became sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered in that the offense might abound, but when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Atonement. Adam sinned, and we were fallen. Christ died on the cross and paid the price for us, so we're redeemed, and we have that way back to God. And I'm going to end with Matthew, the 28th chapter. He sent his son as an example. And he died a horrible death for me. And I know I beat this course, all the time. But it's something I got to remember. He did it just not for mankind. He did it for me. And he calls me friend. And he just didn't do it because he was told to do it. I mean, he was told to do it. But he did it because God wants us back. God wants a relationship with us. That's one reason why we were created. And I want that relationship better between me and him. And as I found out, the more I strive, the more I see Satan in it working. So I have to be careful. I have to pray that I don't fall. Because I am weak. But I have hope in this. We're in Matthew. Get there. Matthew 28. Because of this friend I have in Jesus, I have a great hope. Matthew 28 and 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, this is where my hope comes from, in Jesus Christ, at least mine. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. No matter what Satan can throw at me, Christ has power over it. Satan was cast down here to kill me. An eternal death. If I don't follow after Jesus Christ, and if I don't do the things that we have in front of us, and the testimonies, the evidence and the substance of faith. Because if I don't have the faith that any of it is real, that it exists, I don't have a hope. And if I don't have a hope, then I'm fearlessly lost. I kind of needed that. But Jesus has all power. And he was killed for me. He died for me. But he was resurrected also. And that's where my hope comes from, is that he broke the sting of death. He overpowered it through his resurrection. And I've got hope in it of eternity with God. Because the other place isn't a place I want to go. Stop, drop, and roll, they say, doesn't work in hell. And I'm not trying to be funny, but it helps me to understand a little bit better that hell is real. Because it has to be. If you don't believe in heaven... If you believe in heaven and you don't believe in hell, that's not an opposition in all things. There is a hell and it's real, and heaven is real. And I want heaven. So I need to keep my eye focused on Jesus Christ. I have to remember that I was created to have a relationship with him. So help me get there. Help me in that relationship, would you? Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. I'm thankful for the message this evening. If you haven't picked up a bulletin, please do so. There are events in that coming up throughout the week, so please be sure and check that out, especially Wednesday night is combined prayer service at the East Local. So there will not be anyone here. Our closing hymn is number 325. 325.